The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Happy New Year, America! What's going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene every week to help you find out what's happening in music, TV, movies, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860, WWDB, and get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com, and watch us every week on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash, available in every major city in the U.S. And it's Happy New Year to my incredible producer, Matt Mynarek. Hi, Matt.
Happy New Year, Doreen. How you doing?
Doing good. I'm so excited to be doing our big old 24 recap. We are going to be counting down some of the highs and not so high of 2024 today.
Yeah, definitely. I remember last year's was a lot of fun, so yeah. I definitely look forward to this. And you didn't really give me any hints as to what we're going to be talking about.
No.
So I'm really looking forward to see what's going on.
That's how I work. I'm kind of like, you know, covert. I'm here hiding. Because I want you to react as though the audience is reacting. I want you to hear some of these incredible choices that have been made throughout the year and things that have happened. Because I want you to hear them the way they hear them for the first time, too. Because a lot of our audience members today probably don't know many of these things that happen. Because we like to find the obscure things. The things that maybe that people don't always talk about. You know all
That's
the usual.
True.
Yeah, everybody knows the political stuff. Everybody knows the sports stuff. But maybe those little things that people maybe don't know in the pop culture world or even a little bit beyond. It's kind of fun little, you know, factoids.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to it.
Yeah, so I don't even want to, like, normally I do a big, you know, we banter and stuff. This whole show is banter.
The whole show is banter,
so we don't need to do that. We can get right into it. So want to go?
Let's go.
All right, well, 2024 can best be summed up as the year of the lookalike contest, brain rot, and moodang. Yeah, it's been a crazy year, and we could spend all of 2025 going over the highs and, oh, so many lows from this year instead. So, in typical The Scene with Doreen fashion, we narrowed down our favorite moments from 2024 so you didn't have to. This has been an incredibly good year for the show. I want to start off by saying that we were nationally syndicated on radio stations across the country. We became a weekly TV segment on the nationally syndicated TV show, The Daily Flash. And we sat down with unforgettable guests like Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, John Anderson of Yes, I'm Too Sexy's pop duo, Right Said Fred, Kate Pearson of the B-52s, Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo, and of course, Captain Kirk himself, the iconic William Shatner. Matt, woo! I'm exhausted even saying that.
Those are some names.
I know.
What's the name? When you really list them down?
1 year we did all that.
That is.
And I didn't even list like all these other amazing guests.
They did a lot more.
I know we've done so many. And, you know, it's hard to kind of pick and choose, but does any show pop out in your brain or a moment in one of the shows where you were just like really like amazed or it was such a good thing or maybe even a bad thing? Did something stick out in your brain this year? Was there a memorable moment for you in 2024?
There were a lot of good ones.
Yeah,
I like the one, I forget his name, I should remember it. He collects all the movie memorabilia.
Oh, he's part of Studio Auctions.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And Brad Teplitsky we had on.
I spent half the show while you were interviewing him looking through their website to see what they have, and there's some amazing things, and it just blew my mind, just all the cool items they have.
Yeah.
Another Kate Pearson.
Yes.
I mean, she was like such a nice person.
And off the air, our listeners don't realize, but she did a special greeting for
my mother-in-law.
Oh, your mother-in-law.
Yeah, she's
God,
big B-52s fan, so she said thank you for being a fan, and
she sang even.
It was like, yeah. We didn't even ask her to do that.
No, she sang.
Can you just say hi, pretty much?
Yeah. No, she was a lovely, lovely person.
She's very nice,
yeah.
Yes.
Most of the people, I gotta say, I think almost all have been lovely people. I mean, I can't say that I've been like looking at you at the end of an interview and going, oh, what the heck was that? I mean, we've had moments where we're kind of, where did that just go sometimes?
There were times where before the show started, you're like, well, I don't know how this is going to go. Yeah. And then after the show, you're like, damn, that might be one of my better interviews or more favorite interviews.
Yes,
always. Seems to go that way. When you expect the worst, it never turns out that way. It's always much better than it is, you think.
Well, I always try to research the guests, and I always try to listen to several of their interviews in different formats and kind of get a feel of how they're going to react when I ask them questions. Are they going to be, you know, quick one-word answers? Are they going to drone on for 20 years on an answer? So a lot of times I do research, and I got to say, it's never what I expect. I don't know if I bring out different things in people than maybe.
You've been complimented. Is that a word? Complimented?
We're going to get to the words of the year. I think you just made one of the new 2025 words of the year by that, Matt.
Complimented many times on your interview skills during the shows and even after the shows.
Yeah.
People have told you. So, yeah, it might just have to be the tone that you deliver. And
maybe.
It may be a comforting feeling to them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you have a lot to do with how the interview turns out, not just the guest.
I think so. I always feel like I'm at like a cocktail party and I'm sitting across from somebody one-on-one with a wine in my hand and I'm just talking to them as like I'm meeting them for the first time, which I kind of am. You know, I know these people. I've obviously grown up with some of these people, but yet it's the first time I'm ever getting to really ask them things I want to know. So I feel like, okay, that's how I kind of approach an interview. Now I'm giving away my secrets, but that's sort of how I do it.
Okay, just a sober cocktail party.
Sober. Sometimes, though, if you go back and listen to some of our shows, I am sober, but they don't sound like it. No, I'm the utmost professional.
100% sober.
Sober.
Every show.
I drink after the shows, depending how bad the interview
goes.
When
you're back at your house.
Yes, after I drive back and I am home.
Right.
Yes, thank you for putting that in there.
Safety first.
Yes, safety first, because yes, that's another year. We want to get through the year. We're taping this before the end of the year, so hopefully we've got like a little bit of more time, knock on wood. We've got a good rest of the year left.
But yes, definitely.
Well, we talk a lot on the show, obviously. I mean, it is a talk show. So words matter, especially to us. So every year we talk about the words of the year. Yes, that's right. The words that have been chosen as the most used or misused in most cases throughout the year. So why don't we get into some 2024 wordplay?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm awake and I speak English, so yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Get out of here.
All right, let's kick it off with dictionary.com word of 2024.
Oh, boy.
It is, drumroll please. We're going to do a lot of these. You probably have to add them in post. The word is, the password is, demure.
Demure is the most used word?
Well, that is the dictionary.com. There are three. There's the dictionary.com, there's the Merriam-Webster's word of the year, and then there's the Oxford word of the year. So number one, we're kicking it off. We're going internet-based. Dictionary.com is demure.
Demure, okay.
Now, so I'm going to explain for anyone that doesn't know. The word's meaning has expanded to include refined and sophisticated appearances or behaviors, in addition to its traditional use to describe reserved or modest individuals. It's been used in English since the Middle English period, 1150 to 1500 AD, but I guess it took lifestyle and beauty influencer. I know how much you like that word, man.
Oh, boy.
Influencer Jules LeBron and her catchphrase, very demure, very mindful, to go viral on TikTok to make it fashionable again. And I wonder if, because that's trademarked, there was a huge battle in like spring and summer, where someone else tried to trademark it and like swept in and tried to like steal her phrase. And it was a big court battle. And I think that's one of the reasons it was used and spiked so much in searches this year.
I'll leave it to the TikTok people to make a big deal out of something that already exists.
That's sort of, I don't want to allude to like the theme of the show, but I'm going to, because it's kind of, that's, you just said it. This year is all about just repeats, reboots, taking things that already existed and just bringing them back, and not always in the best of ways. And that seems to be a little bit of what everything is. And as you see, as we go, there's a little bit of that, I don't want to say nostalgia, but a little bit of just like regurgitation of stuff. So yes,
vomit.
And I know you love influencers. We did that word of the year one of those times.
My favorite word.
That is your favorite word. And I got to say, it's not one of mine either, because I don't really understand it. because I'm not really sure who they're influencing except their wannabe wallet.
Yeah, I think everybody in the world is technically could be an influencer.
Yeah, we are. We're talking to people right now. And if we say, don't do this, maybe they won't. Or if we say, do this, maybe they'll. Or maybe, you know, 10 people are listening and don't care. But
never know.
No, so that is demure. So let's continue on.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No, 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 hell no.
All right, moving right along. Merriam-Webster's word of the year is, drum roll again, polarization.
Okay.
It's a little more legit of a word. It is still a word that has existed, but I guess after the year in politics we've had, that one was a no-brainer. A
lot of polarizing people.
Yes, polarizing. And the whole political world, it is a no-brainer to be one of the words of the year. And speaking of no-brainer, let's just move right into the Oxford word of the year. In 2024 is, yep, you guessed it, brain rot.
Brain rot. I feel like we've talked about that word before.
I think I've probably discussed it. It's defined as the deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as the result of overconsumption of material, now particularly online content, considered to be trivial or unchallenging. And it's taken on this whole new significance in the digital age, especially over the past 12 months.
So TikTok influencers could give you brain rot.
Again, particularly on TikTok among Generation Z and Gen Alpha communities, brain rot is now seeing more widespread use. And it's in journalism. I've been hearing about it a lot. And I know that a lot of they're bringing up a lot of societal concerns and this negative impact of over-consuming online content, which is kind of a double-edged sword because what we do is sort of provide content. We just hope it's not, you know, we hope it's a little more stimulating and it's not brain rot where it's just useless, like scrolling on TikTok, I guess, over and over, like, and just, you know, mindlessly watching things.
You want to hear, you want people to listen to the show, but
learn something.
Yeah. And you don't want them to sit there. You'd probably look at them weird if they said, oh, I sat down for 12 straight hours and listened to the scene with Doreen for 12 straight hours.
I'd be happy and I'd be like scared a little because I think they'd be outside in my driveway waiting for me when I got home a little.
Possibly.
A little
but
stalkerish.
Then you would think about like really 12 hours, the same thing.
Yeah. And I would say, you know what? I am an influencer then.
No way.
See, I'm going to bring it right back. But no, I think brain rot is actually a serious term. And I know that some health centers are starting to try to figure out how to even treat that. It's going to be a bigger issue. I do believe brain rot is going to be a bigger thing as the years progress. It may change and go into something a little more, actual. Instead of a catchphrase on TikTok, it's going to actually become a thing. I think it is.
Possibly.
It's like the Ozempic thing, you know, where we had a guest on a while ago and we started talking about that before it was even really what it is. And every day there's something in the news. Now they're being sued for major things. And it's a very scary thing to put things in your body that you shouldn't.
Yeah, especially when you overdo it. That's the thing. Everybody, nobody knows how to do anything in doses, really.
No.
Or in small doses. When you do something, I don't know, I'm trying to explain it the right way.
I kind of get what you're saying.
In small doses.
Well, everything, moderation.
Like,
do things
moderation,
in moderation.
That's the word.
See, we know. We work together. It's the okay. We're going to make the scene with Doreen words of the year next year.
Moderation.
I think we're going to write them down. There we go. We'll do that. I'm going to make a note of that. So when we're here again at the end of next year, we will have our words.
And maybe I'll learn how to say words by then.
That's good. Words matter. Words are good. Words is good. But no, it's an interesting topic. And I think, like I said, throughout the year, we may be touching on that in interviews a little more. And it might be something to kind of keep an eye on. It's a lot better than demure, I got to say.
Yeah, because I don't know how to spell demure.
That's all right. I think you're good. Most of the people on TikTok don't as well. But you know what? Let's just move on because there are more important issues at hand this year. We have the toy of the year. I'm your toy.
What do we you talking about when you're talking about toys? Wait.
All right, little disclaimer and shameless self-promotion. That was my song, Toy, off of my Happily Ever After album, both available to purchase and stream on DoreenTaylorMusic.com. Okay, now that I got that out of the way, Toy's a toy of all different shapes and colors. You know, I wrote that song a while ago, and yeah, that was my most... I guess charted.
Listen
song.
To the whole thing, listeners. You'll know.
Yes,
what she's,
go.
If you didn't get it in that clip, you'll get it.
Well, what we're talking about here for Toy of the Year is a little different. I hope. I hope people aren't using these for those purposes, but you never know. I say there's a lot of different strokes for different folks out there. But so back to the issue at hand. Every year, the National Toy Hall of Fame in Rochester, New York, inducts its new class of toys, and this year was no exception. In no particular order, the top three toys that made the cut are the Rummy-style card game Phase 10.
Okay.
I never heard of it.
I think I've seen it at the store. I've never played it.
I Googled it. Like, I went on YouTube to kind of see, and it had all these, like, tutorials and stuff, and I said, if I got to watch that many tutorials to figure out how to play something, I'm done. Moving on. But I thought that was an interesting one. Live action figures that changed their shapes and had a huge movie franchise created around it. Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Those are cool. More than meets the eye, baby. Those I always
love Transformers.
I got to say, what took so long to put those in, especially with the movie franchise. And the third inductee, after being a finalist 7 times, is, drumroll, play that beautiful clip footage, Matt.
My little pony, my little pony. I take her wherever I go. My little pony, my little pony. Oh, I love her so.
I love you, my little pony.
My little pony. Each sold separately. Collect them all.
I love you, my little pony.
Yes, my little pony. The 1980s mini horses that you could brush their hair, and that was about it. I mean, there was nothing else you could really do. They were like kind of posable, but it just really shows Transformers, the gender gap between toys, what Transformers were. They were cool too, you know, and you morphed them. If people don't know, and you were living under a rock for all these years, you know, and the movies, you changed their shapes, and one went from a car to like Mega Raptor something. You know, they had really cool names, kind of like Guar, you know, Maximus Aurelius Boobus or something.
They're less gassy though.
A little
than
less
Guar.
Gassy than Guar, and yes, a lot less fluid going into that.
Do you remember the other transformable toys, GoBots?
GoBots. They were kind of the ripoff of Transformers, weren't they?
I think they were before Transformers,
if I remember correctly.
But
I got to find that out.
They didn't blow up as much as Transformers. But yeah, I always...
That's always what a toy wants. I want them to blow up. Like little My Little Ponies. Blow those up. Seriously, that's a cool toy. Take that little pony and just...
I didn't mean blow up like that. I mean blow up mean in popularity.
Oh, see, I'm back to the whole, like, you know.
What the heck?
Well, you know, I'm thinking Transformers. You saw the franchise. Things were blowing up in the movies.
Yeah, they do blow up, but
yeah,
I mean, like...
Oh, I got what you're saying. See, I'm confused with all the words of the year.
Popularity.
I don't know the English language anymore. I'm so confused with all those words that were inducted into the world. To my language this year.
No, not like technically blow. It's in popularity. But yes, I love Transformers.
I got to say My Little Pony was huge too. In the 80s, it really was. And
my
little
sister
girls,
was huge into that.
They love horses. Every little girl loved a horse. They wanted a pony. Everybody wanted a pony. So yeah, I get that was a good class. I remember last year we did it and I don't remember what the toys were. They were forgettable kind of because I don't even remember. But this year... they were pretty good. And I don't know what took 7 years to bring My Little Pony into the race. I mean, that seemed like that should have been in, you know, at least three into the race.
Yeah, that's been around for so long.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
Yeah. So if you're in Rochester, New York, check out the National Toy Hall of Fame. We don't have any, you know, kickbacks here. We're just saying, you know what? It might be fun. I'm from Buffalo, so it's kind of like promoting a little close to home. So, you know. But, yeah. All right, so I'm Doreen Taylor, and you're listening to our very special 2024 New Year Recap with my special co-pilot and producer, Matt Menark. We will talk more about the highs and lows of 24 and honor those we said goodbye to this year. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy. We sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
And we are coming on the air right now because ABC News has just learned that legendary actor James Earl Jones has died. He's an actor many of you are familiar with. He was known for his powerful roles both on
country
stage.
Music singer, songwriter, and actor Kris Kristofferson has passed away at age 88. The accomplished entertainer lived a long life.
It has been announced in the last few minutes that the famed actress Dame Maggie Smith has died. A statement has said that she passed away peacefully in hospital early.
Well, this midday, people are mourning the loss of a talk show legend. Phil Donahue has died at the age of 88. In a family statement, they said he passed away following a long illness.
Just in, the legendary fitness guru Richard Simmons has died at the age of 76. KTLA and several other outlets are reporting the sad news.
Just coming into our newsroom, O.J. Simpson, the former football star who was accused of killing his ex-wife and her boyfriend, has died. His family sharing the news on social media.
Breaking news tonight, Gina Rowlands, known for her role in The Notebook, has died after a battle with Alzheimer's. Rowlands is from Wisconsin.
Actor, director, and former football player Carl Weathers has passed away. Weathers is best known for his roles in Rocky, Predator, and Happy Gilmore. Your kids probably know him as
We have some breaking news. Actor and comedian Bob Newhart has died.
That's right, the accountant.
We have tragic breaking news from the music world this morning. Country singer Toby Keith has died. ABC News confirmed his passing.
And we have breaking news out of the entertainment world. Actress Terry Garr has died at the age of 79. Garr's breakout role.
Breaking news out of Hollywood this morning. Actress Shannen Doherty has died after a 9-year battle with cancer.
Our George Pinocchio has.
Actor Donald Sutherland has died at the age of 88. The news was announced by his son, actor Kiefer Sutherland, who posted a short tweet.
Good evening. We are following breaking news at this hour. Former One Direction star Liam Payne is dead after falling from a hotel window. The tragic news show.
Of course, I'd have a blonde wig. That'd be fun.
Especially with her.
We're following breaking news. Legendary actress Mitzi Gaynor has died. She passed away this morning here in L.A. of natural.
We're just learning beloved actor John Amos has died. His publicist says Amos died August
1. Lou Gossett Jr., who was the first black man to win the Best Supporting Actor Oscar, has passed away at the age of 87.
Producer, composer, and multimedia entrepreneur Quincy Jones has died.
And the 91-year-old's career ranged from producing Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and I'm here with my producer and all the magic, Matt Menarek. You're listening to our very special 2024 The Scene recap. Sadly, coming out of break, you heard a montage of many of the special celebrities we lost this year. Man, I'm always amazed when I start going over the list of celebrities we lose each year. There are always a few I forget. There's always a few that I thought died this year and didn't. And I'm always taken back by a few. Did any surprise you in this montage that maybe you forgot or you're just like, oh, that was this year? Or
there were a couple I forgot, like Phil Donahue. I never really watched the show much, but everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones, that was a big one.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed, because of course. I love Rocky movies.
Carl Weathers
and... He's in Happy Gilmore.
I know, and Predator. I loved
and
Predator. That was a great movie.
Mm-hmm. And I was surprised with Toby Keith.
Yeah, that one.
Even though I knew he was sick, I think one of the biggest ones, I wasn't like a One Direction fan, but hearing somebody so young
happen.
And not to mention just 2 days ago, I think it was, Ricky Henderson.
Yes. We had Pete Rose go this year. We had Ricky Henderson go this year. Willie Mays.
I forgot about that.
Willie Mays went this year. We had a lot of sports people, and I wanted to include them, but I said, let's just, you know, because I could keep going, and there were so many different ones. But I said, they are also notable to mention.
But there's so many that, you do forget, because they'll happen in like January and February, and then you don't realize how long ago that really was.
It is. Well, Lisa Marie Presley, I went in there and I said, I know she died this year. I know she did. I saw then there was like a battle with the state and everything. And I looked it up and I mean, it was well over a year ago. And that was one that sort of surprised me. I was like, I had to double check the sources and say, what the heck? I really, that I felt was like just yesterday almost.
Yeah. It is weird just because, you know, it's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, as people get older, like Bob Newhart was in his 90s.
A lot of the ones this year were ones that, while they are sad, they lived long lives. They were in their 80s. They were in their 90s. Donald Sutherland, I always thought he was like 100. He was 88. But, I mean, he lived a really long, good life. I mean, it was inevitable at some point. Bob Newhart, like you said. James Earl Jones was older. There weren't a lot of surprises. Like, last year was Matthew Perry. That was a big shock to all people.
Huge. Yeah.
Then this one with Liam Payne was another one that was kind of like, whoa, okay, that kind of came out of left field. So, but not a lot of those this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a few days left. I don't want to, you know, jinx it. I mean, anything could happen after we film this. But so far, as of today, this is what has happened.
Yeah. It's just, even like you said with the AIDS, though, even though you know that it's going to happen eventually, just hearing, knowing that, wow, you'll never hear, although we have AI now, you will hear James Earl Jones again.
You will, and holograms and everything else. They'll bring them back, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
And you know that, you know, they're gone, and yeah, it is sad, but it is good, like you said. A lot of these people, they did live
good lives.
Tremendous lives.
Yes, yes. Like, I got to say, too, that what I find more or sadder as I get older is that the ones that are dying, the more iconic older people, they were a different level of talent. I mean, I'm going to say that. I don't know if the younger upcoming class understands that level of commitment, that level of breaking down barriers, that level of doing things. They did things like Lou Gossett Jr. You know, I mean, he was a trailblazer for so many. And it's sad to know that I'm not sure we'll ever have talent like that again.
No, because it's a different type of work ethic that you need.
Yeah.
Now, I know people like of our age, we're always down on the younger people because we think they're
get
lazy.
Off my lawn.
We yes, there are, you know, sometimes maybe we might over exaggerate things, but as easy as it is to be successful in certain things these days, takes away from the hard work that it might take for other people to do.
True.
Like, for somebody to be popular, to, you know, write a song or be a musical artist, used to have to go through, you probably know.
Absolutely. I was old school, yeah.
Many different jumps. But now, if you think that you're halfway talented, you could just get a mic at Best Buy, throw it on your computer, sing something on your video camera, whatever, and then put it on YouTube. And then if it's good, somebody will like it. You don't have to work. Not saying that it's not working hard, but it's a different type of grind. There's no grind involved.
It's true. I saw,
and like, these artists that you're talking, that passed away. Yeah. I mean, it's a different type of, you have to work differently maybe.
Yeah.
To get where you're going. Now it just seems easier.
There was a great interview I was watching the other day. Rick Beato, who does a lot of music interviews. He's had a lot of the people we've had on the show. And he was saying that the problem with music today, and you know, a lot of people are brave enough to say it, and as we approach our next segment, we're going to be talking a lot about music of, you know, this year. But the problem is that it's so easy to make now, and it's so easy to consume it. Those are our two biggest problems. It's diluting the industry to a point. It's great for other people to get their names out, but for the people who are truly talented, who work their butt off, who do the grind, it's kind of covering them up a little, because now everybody's an influencer. Now everybody's a musician. Everyone's a singer because they put up a video on YouTube. And, you know, so the people who are actually doing it professionally and doing the grind and touring and making albums and going out and selling those albums, it's a lot harder because you're being lumped in. And now with AI, we talk about it a lot on the show with a lot of the musicians.
Yeah.
It's, some people love it. Some musicians are embracing it, but they were always the ones, like, you know, we had Howard Jones, who absolutely adores AI. He's thinking of creating music with AI because he was always a pioneer of music and making sounds that didn't exist before. But then you have others who truly write, a ballad. Like you have Steve Dorff, who's a songwriter who writes big stuff for, you know, Celine Dion. We had him on the show. It scares him because you can put in, write me a song in the style of blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you're seeing something come up and you're like, holy cow. And it takes ideas. And that's another topic that I don't think we even scratched the surface on. And we're going to hear more and more as the shows go on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you get government involved and you get other things involved and laws and stuff. But right now it's in its infancy. So who knows? But Yeah, I really do. It's every year it's sad, but you know, it's also a nice time to honor all those people, because a lot of them, they haven't done anything in a while, but then it brings you back to that time. We're like, oh yeah, you know, I really loved Terry Garn and Young Frankenstein, or yes, I loved blah blah blah, and you may not have seen it in 50 years, but it brings you right back to that moment, and it's sad. It's part of your childhood. It's part of your life, and it's always sad to lose something. Nobody likes to lose things.
No, no.
Yes. But you're not going to lose if you continue to listen to the show, because I'm Doreen Taylor. And you are listening to a very special The Scene with Doreen 2024 recap, along with my scene cohort in crime, Matt Menark. When we come back, we're going to get into the top music, movies, streaming, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com. Oh yeah, welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm Doreen Taylor, along with my producer and the man who pushes all of my buttons, Matt Menark. You're listening to our very special 2024 The Scene recap. And as we move into music, there seemed to be kind of a theme, and I wanted to play that coming out of break, Bad. And no, not the Michael Jackson song I just played. The most notable footnote of 24, I guess, is the success and growth of female artists, specifically on the Spotify top albums list, where women hold 8 of the spots in the top half of the list. And of course, the year would be hard to ignore, with more than 26.6 billion streams globally. Taylor Swift is, of course, Spotify's 2024 global top artist. But beyond that, there was really no major surprises. There were no major highlights. There were no major anything. It was just a lot of Bad. And I would die for a Michael Jackson Bad single to come out right now. But so why don't we just get into what the audience can kind of understand. According to Spotify Wrapped, the three top stream songs in the U.S. in 2024 this year are...
Number 3.
Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jack Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near 5th Street. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy.
Number 2.
They not like us. 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 They not like us.
Number 1.
Think about me.
And those are your top three most streamed songs in the U.S. for 2024. Coming in at number 3 is Tipsy by Shaboozy. Number 2 is Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar. And the number 1 most streamed song of 24, according to Spotify, is Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah, I have nothing to say. All right, on a side note, I saw you heard that number 2... was Kendrick Lamar, and he is playing the Super Bowl halftime show this year on February 9th. So, okay, let's just move on, because that's all I got to say. Matt, do you have anything to say about that? Because I just...
Some of the song, like the first one, I didn't even know who that was, because it sounds like 40 different artists.
I thought it was Ariana Grande.
They
all sound the same. That's the point. It's something that is so familiar. And we were talking about that earlier in the show, how everything this year, 24, is this theme of feeling so familiar about things. Well, the Shaboozy song, Tipsy, if you remember, everybody in the club getting tipsy. There was a song years ago.
Yeah, it's just like a country version kind of. Yep.
And it's another, you know, regurgitation. I want to keep using that word. That's my word of the year, regurgitation, Yeah.
I mean, Kendrick Lamar is very talented. He has a lot of good music out.
Yes.
He's really good at writing music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to him a lot because I always revert back to the older music that I've always grew up listening to and see if those artists come out with new music. So
yeah,
maybe I'm like the old, yeah, not like complete. I'm like the old man with one foot on the grass telling you to take one foot off the grass.
You want one toe.
Get off my lawn,
yes,
a little bit.
A little bit. You're starting to find out. Yeah.
Because, yeah, a lot of it does sound the same. But there are some talented ones. Sabrina Carpenter, I don't know where she came from.
There are a few that are starting to kind of copy the Taylor Swift because it worked. It made money. So a lot of these new artists are sort of starting to copy that. There's a Roan Chapel. There's another one. There's like a whole bunch of people that are coming out where I listen and I go, oh, that is the same. And I wonder if the same people are writing the same songs and they sound the same baby voices. No one has a real voice. I mean, I don't hear a singer. Like, I heard Shaboozey, I gotta say, and I don't throw shade on any artist. I interview so many here, but I gotta say, I watched him play the halftime show. I think it was one of the holidays. I want to say
Thanksgiving games.
It was Detroit and the Lions, and I think he may be from there. I don't know. But, oh my God, he was singing live. Yeah, I mean, give him credit. He was doing it live because there's no other way that could have been that bad. If it was canned, it was really bad. And I was uncomfortable because I felt he was uncomfortable. And I've seen that a lot where they're so used to the toys and the gadgets and the things, the Pro Tools and the stuff they use in the studio that when they get out there live, they just, yeah. And it was just a weird, it was all country and they were saying, and the women were dancing weird. And it was just weird. All of it was, ugh.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I've seen this before. And I don't like it any better now than I did. But before, at least, was original. Now, this is just something I've seen before.
Yeah, you do see a lot of that.
And I've heard
days.
It before. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially like Sabrina Carpenter. I've heard that before. I don't know what it was. And I mean, it's catchy. And if you're sitting there and you're, driving in your car and you don't want to, mindlessly, you just, they're not thinking. Yeah, it's fine. I have it on sometimes like on my BPM channel on Sirius. I'm listening to it driving and it's fine. It's a nice remix of it, but I'm not going to buy it.
No, they don't have to buy anything these days.
No,
anyway.
But you know what? That's an interesting point because what's making money? Streaming is one thing, but what is making money? We're going to touch base on that a little bit, but let's move on because I think that chapter is closed. But let's talk a little bit more about the legends and what comes with this year's class of 2024 are the inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We move on to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Last night, they announced the class of 2024, and the inductees for performers are Cher, Mary J. Blige,
yes,
Dave Matthews Band,
yeah,
Foreigner,
oh,
Peter Frampton, Cool and the Gang,
wow, yeah,
Ozzy Osbourne, and last but certainly not least, A Tribe Called Quest.
Wow.
And four artists will be honored with this year's Musical Excellence Award. Jimmy Buffett, Dionne, yes, Warwick, MC5, yes, and Norman Whitfield are, ooh, set to be celebrated for their impact on the industry when the ceremony takes place in Cleveland, and that'll happen this October. Congrats.
All right, so that was your class of 2024 inductees, and some notables this year. I think a little better, I gotta say, than last year. There were more classic names on there, and I'm always never really thrilled with their decisions, but a few like Ozzy and stuff, yes, okay, like you want to say what took so long, but yeah, you know what I find more interesting, I was laughing during playing that clip, is I play the same announcement every year, and I believe it's from the Today Show. And Al Roker,
yeah.
Every time he's in the background, yeah, ooh, every time, and I find that more funny than anything else because I know there's some bands he doesn't know, and he'll get to him, he'll go like, oh, and then the ones he does, he's like, oh yeah, 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 and then he'll go, oh, like he does it, and I just find that funny. I got to give a shout out, Al Roker, you're making my day, you make me laugh. So there you go. But yeah, I found interesting Cher this year because she went on record saying she would never accept it ever if she got it because she was snubbed so many times that she was never going to take it, but she took it. And yeah, anyone in there that you love, hate, indifferent?
I was a big Tribe Called Quest fan. Well, yeah. Still am. I mean, I love their music. Mm-hmm. The music I grew up on is rap and R&B,
yep,
mainly, which is now you call it old school.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
sucks because we're not old school. But anyway, yeah, Tribe
we're
Called Quest is
school.
One of the bands, one of the groups I listen to all the time. So yeah, that was really cool hearing them get announced.
Yeah. You know what? I'm most more fascinated with not who's picked, but every year who's snubbed. And I know we've talked about it. I've had so many musicians on the show, and we're talking major bands like Andrew Ferris, INXS. He was on a few months ago. INXS is not. And they were one of the biggest bands ever. I mean, they were playing arenas that, you know, people can dream of filling, and they were filling them. And they were really, I mean, I know with the premature death of Michael Hutchins, that sort of stalled them, but you cannot deny the list of hits. So they're very weird that they're not in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Kate Pearson, B-52s. We just had her on the show. And B-52s, not only a huge amount of hits, but being pioneers in a style of music where they kind of did something very different at the time. And that was always an interesting one. Like, why? Why are they not in there?
Maybe the committee knows and they're projecting down the road knowing that there won't be as many good candidates. So they got to stretch it out.
Maybe, but you hope that they'll see it in their lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, here's one I find interesting, because now they have certain, like if you heard in the beginning in the clip, they don't just have the inductees, they also have people who made a difference in music. They were influencers, but they were music people who they feel are so important in the style of music. And I just found out recently, and I don't even know why I never thought of this, but Frank Sinatra, he is not in there.
He's not?
I know he's not rock and roll. He's not rock and roll. But neither are like 80% of the people that are in there now. And if you can't think of someone who has had their hands on almost everything in that music in that era, who has influenced and opened doors, even to a Michael Bublé and stuff. I mean, huge.
How is he not?
He's not.
That doesn't make sense.
See what I'm saying? It's sort of mind-blowing sometimes when you do a little search, like who's still left? And there's some incredible. If you're bored, just go and Google who's not in the, you know, what bands are not. And you'll see the list and you'll go, how is that? You know, Jethro Tull, not in there. You know, there are some major bands that made major influence impacts on the music industry. And yet, nope. I don't know what is
That's
the category.
Crazy. Wow.
I really, from a lot of the guests and what they allude to, they don't want to ever, again, throw shade or say anything. But I think the common thread is that they feel it's very political and they're looking for a certain whatever. It's kind of like American Idol. When they already kind of know who's going to win, they pick their people and they kind of guide the one they want to win that, like, you know, with right. Carrie Underwood. They knew they wanted her and they made everything go her way. So, because that's what they wanted that year. They wanted country. So I'm wondering if there's a little bit of that too.
Possibly.
Or just extend it and bring in more every year.
Why not? Because, you know, they're all going to eventually make it anyway, unless they know that in 30 years, like, they're listening to like Sabrina Carpenter ain't going to make it.
You know what? I don't know. I would have never thought a certain artist that reached $2 billion in touring sales this year would ever be where she is. But sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, you don't know. And I got to say, my favorite band probably of all time, Depeche Mode. I think they are incredible, and, you know, Personal Jesus and these incredible, you know, and they were, again, pioneers in a style. And yet they're not in it either. I think I'm going to start a petition, and maybe we have like a, you know, kind of thing where we try to get people into the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's part of our thing.
We could try.
I'm sure I have a lot of influence. Yeah, I'm not an influencer.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that have already. Maybe there are some for some bands.
I know that INXS has had like petitions and people. There are people like fans who do that every year. They put out a petition and say, you know, they get it signed and they send it to them. And yet that still doesn't seem to break the wall for them. But what are you going to do? I don't know. If I was part of that, I'd be in it. So you know what? I don't know. But it's okay. I just interview those that are and are maybe, you know, up and coming to be in there. I think everyone we interview has the potential, if they're not in there already, to be in there.
I would agree.
Yep. And if not, then I'm going to keep like checking every year and saying, why not? But anyway, and 2024 has proven to be a historic year, not only for music, but for live entertainment. While the industry has slowed since 23, we still saw record-setting revenues with the top two tours of all time running concurrently. Taylor Swift's powerhouse The Eras Tour finally wrapped, shattering the all-time touring record, while Coldplay Music of the Spheres tour sold more tickets than any artist in live entertainment history. That tour also grossed over $1.3 billion and remains the second highest grossing tour ever, with 48 more dates scheduled in 25. Wow. I mean, we were like thrilled last year with Taylor Swift hitting the billion mark. That was like a huge milestone. And now there's another one and it's 1.3. It's not even like 1.8 in pennies. It's 1.3. He went well over. And he's not even done yet. Coldplay. I mean, that's one I can't even tell you a song. What's Coldplay? I mean, That sounds crazy to say, but I can't say one song from Coldplay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there How to Save a Love? No, that's the fray. I don't know. I don't know.
Good question.
See? Two of us in the same room.
I've never been a Coldplay fan, so
neither
I don't know.
Am I. So, I mean, I know I've heard it, and did he date Madonna or something at some point?
Sure.
The lead singer? I don't even know. See, I have no idea, but the fact that they're pulling in more tickets than Taylor Swift. I mean, that's what? So every year now, are we going to have billion-dollar tours is the question.
I mean, everything's going up. I mean,
everything.
We're going to... The Mets just signed Juan Soto. He's close to, I mean, he's over $750 million for a contract. So eventually everything, the cost and the what people make is going to be near billions soon.
But when does it become not worth it? You know, like you wonder with even a player in the sports, which is something, you know, I don't really talk about much with sports, but at a certain point, how much does a title cost at this point, or a ring or a pennant? How much does that cost? When you're talking that kind of money, is it really, really, is anyone worth that kind of money?
Oh, no, but that's where the market is, and that's where money is being brought in, and they feel with the market, that's how somebody is valued to help bring a championship, which is the weird thing is nothing's guaranteed.
There's no guarantee they could get hurt the first game and you're done. You're sitting on a bench earning $750 million, you know?
I bet you could sit down with half of Major League Baseball players and ask them, is a person to play baseball worth this much money? Mm. I bet you more than half would say no in reality, but when it comes to what players bring to the team, mm-hmm. the revenue that the teams make and all that stuff. Yeah, when it comes to that, but as a person, no. Nobody's worth $750 million to play a baseball game.
Is there a point, though, where you max out? Like, you can only earn so much revenue. You can upcharge, you know, the tickets. You can up, you know, price the tickets. You can sell hot dogs for $50. You can do what you want, but at some point, you only have so many seats. You only have so many games. You only have so many things. When does it become in the model, the business model, it's not doable? You can pay, you know, $50 billion for a player, but you're not maybe going to ever bring in $50 billion, even if you do. So at some point, it's going to have to give.
You would think, but it just hasn't come close yet.
I know. But then I hear a lot of these, like, you know, people who own teams and stuff, they don't consider that it's a profit-making thing. They do it because it's a cool thing to own part of a team, but they're never looking at it, you know, as, oh, I'm going to make money off of this investment for purchasing a team.
Because they have to put so much back in.
They do.
So,
and a lot of times they come back to them saying, hey, you know what? We need more. We need more. And you're there and you're like a cash register for them because they need more every year. So it's kind of like, where does the bottom fall out at some point?
Who knows?
I don't know. But the bottom will not fall out yet on this show because I'm Doreen Taylor and you're listening to our very special 24 New Year recap with my wingman and producer, Matt Menark. When we come back, we're going to talk about movies, streaming, and yes, our annual predictions for 2025. We'll be right back. Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com. Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and I'm here with my producer extraordinaire, Matt Menark. And you're listening to our very special 2024 The Scene Recap. It's been a crazy year, Matt, especially movies and what continues to come out of Hollywood. And I played the Michael Bublé song coming out of break because he has that nice line, Hollywood is dead. And let's face it, 2024 is the year of the sequel. In fact, the top 10 movies, 9 of the top 10. Are sequels. And I must note that the only one that could be remotely considered original is Wicked, and that is based on a musical that is based on a book. And it will also have a part 2 coming soon, so technically it's not really unfamiliar either. So They were, yeah. So since I have to do this, let's just go in and look at the top three grossing picks of this year based on worldwide box office sales. And remember, we still have a little time left before the year is over right now, but this is how it stands as of today. Coming in at the number three spot with almost $1 billion is Despicable Me 4. Yes, not one, not two, not even three, but the fourth installment of this already tired franchise. Coming into the number two spot with over $1 billion in sales. Yep, you guessed it. Another sequel. Deadpool versus Wolverine. I think I have lost count at this point how many reiterations of this damn Marvel universe we're going to have to endure before it stops. I know they make fun of it a little in that movie and kind of, you know, but it's still not enough for me yet. Let's put a pause to the cause and, you know. And to top the 2024 highest grossing movie list is, surprise, you guessed it, a sequel. It is the Pixar Disney regurgitation, Inside Out 2. Yes. So three sequels in the top three spots. Now, to be fair, of the top three, I've only seen Inside Out 2, but it was subpar and a pale imitation of the first one. And honestly, it was irritating to me at times. It irritated me at times for different reasons, but to have grossed $1.7 billion in sales is either a very sad commentary on what people like, or better yet, a sadder commentary on the lack of creativity and originality of the movie industry in general. Have you seen any of the three?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
You've seen them. You have seen them because of the same story that keep coming out
pretty much
over and over and over.
I do like Marvel movies, but I do agree that, you know, that you can overdo it.
I think we passed that probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I am very good friends with Michael Uslan, who is the producer of Batman, and he's been on the show. But I gotta say, now they are Joker, Folie à Deux, whatever it was, number two, Joker 2.
Yeah, there's too many Joker movies because there's different versions. I mean,
they made it a musical. And that came out this year, and that's not even in close. It didn't even break the top 10. Now, for something that big to be that huge Joker, that original one was really good. It really was. And it was pretty, out of all of them, I think one of the more groundbreaking ones. And then to follow with that sequel this year, it was, I don't get it. I just don't understand. I know they picked Lady Gaga to be Harley Quinn, and that's great. They wanted a name, but I think her only talent is she sings. And so they said, what can we do with her? Because she's not doing what we want acting-wise. They made her sing, and they made it a musical. And, yeah, you know how that did in sales. So, yeah.
Yeah. I probably will see the Deadpool movie, but the other ones, I don't think I've seen any of the Despicable Me's.
I saw the first one.
I haven't seen the first Inside Out.
Second one. And then there's another one. There's like Minions. There's also another one they spun off where it's not just the four. There's like a Minions. And I think there might even be a Minions 2 if there hasn't yet been. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It makes money. They keep doing
that's
it.
That's what it is.
You know what? I think that's what we've learned in 2024, that creativity and originality is dead, at least for this year. And I'm not sure if it's all for nostalgia's sake or they're just scared of their own, but they are really afraid to get audiences to the theaters. So they use the same formula over and over and over again because it makes money. But it's actually insulting to those of us who crave something original, something different. It's a great topic to have, and we should probably do a whole show on it, but is there anything original left out there to do music-wise, movie-wise? Anything. What? There has to be creative.
There has to be.
New ideas.
Nobody's really thinking of them.
I think they're just too scared to do them. Nobody wants to throw the money to develop them. So they just do what's easy.
Yeah, especially with how easy everything is now. Because how much are you going to really put a lot of money and thought into a movie that goes out the traditional way to only movie theaters and then You have to wait 6 months or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, the old formula, yeah.
Like, you used to, like, oh, when's this going to be released on DVD or
But it was
VHS?
Exciting. That was
it
cool,
was.
Though. It was part of the whole thing. It made it cool. It's like waiting for Christmas. It was cool because you're waiting for it. If you got Christmas every day in your house, it would not be so exciting on you know, December 25th. It's cool because you had to wait. You had, you know, and they had trailers for how long coming out. And it was cool. And you were waiting in line. You wanted to go to the theater. I haven't been to the theater. I can't even tell you how long. And I'm part of the problem. I don't want to go back. I don't like
neither.
People. I hate people.
But I loved going to movie theaters. I enjoyed it. Every time I went to a movie theater, it was always fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no reason to go anymore.
No.
And like I was saying, you wait for it to come out. Now you don't even have to pay for it.
No, they offer it free on Max or one of the other ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're just getting it. Yeah.
Like Deadpool and Wolverine. It hasn't been that long since it was in the theater, was it?
I don't even know when that came up. But I know Beetlejuice, they were offering that for free like recently on, on my TV.
So you don't even have to wait that long anymore.
Nope.
And sometimes you could watch movies on a streaming service that are still in the theaters.
Oh, a lot of times.
So what's the point?
Yes, it's true. It's true. And that kind of brings
cheaper.
Us to our next thing, because what has sort of ruined a little of that industry, and I think that's why they're a little scared, is the streaming industry. So let's get into streaming. It was a little more difficult to narrow down the top streaming series for 2024. Apparently, it's a little harder to measure popularity and which shows were officially the top tiers because of all the different metrics and stuff. But I found one list on justwatch.com that seemed pretty reliable, as most of the lists I find are not official, but that the site, you know, whatever they personally think is best to watch. So according to justwatch.com, coming in at the number three spot is Hulu's The Bear. Number two is the Amazon Prime post-apocalyptic drama Fallout. And ringing in the number one most popular streaming series is the Hulu global hit Shogun. Now, I gotta say, I haven't seen any of them.
I saw The Bear, the first... I forget what season it's in now. Whichever one it is, I haven't seen the most recent one.
I think it's three seasons.
I think I saw the first two then.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I thought it was good.
It won a lot of awards. They always say it's a comedy, though, and I always hear people complain when it's up for awards. It's like, this is not a comedy.
I don't see it as a comedy. I mean, there's funny moments, of course.
Dark comedy, maybe.
Dark comedy,
yeah.
But, no, I wouldn't consider it a comedy. I thought it was good. I watch streaming services all the time.
I gotta say, you know, I gotta give shout out to number four, though, because we only do the three, but number four spot, gotta say, the horror series From on MGM Plus. That is one of the few shows I've been watching since it began, and I gotta say, I love it. I just think it's awesome.
That's one of the only streaming services I don't have. MGM Plus?
It used to be Epics, I wanna say.
Okay.
And then it changed over to MGM Plus, and, you know, my subscription went over to it. But it's really the only reason I subscribe is because of that show. And it's, I gotta say, it makes me mad, but it's so good because I wanna know. And then they leave you with more questions, but they do answer like one thing. They throw you a bone, and then, oh my God, and it just ended. I just finished. And yeah, but I don't really watch all the ones that people watch all the time. Everybody's talking about it, and I'm like, eh. I don't really watch them.
I like watching. There's one of the pluses is you could watch a whole series at once.
Binge watching.
One of the negatives of it is if they release a whole season, you've been waiting a year to watch all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but watch it in a weekend. And then you're like,
I gotta wait
a whole nother year.
That's true.
It does suck.
And then COVID stopped a lot of the production. So like I am a huge Stranger Things fan. And this is the last final season coming. And they literally just wrapped now. They just put out production photos that it's coming next year. But that's like, I can't even tell you how long I've been waiting. And these are kids in this show. What are they going to be like, geriatrics now? Like with their Pepto-Bismol and their, you know, Geritol Complete?
Yeah, Stranger Things at the old folks home.
That's what's strange about it. How are you going to make them look young after all these years?
Yeah, I mean, you could put dead people in movies. I mean,
that's true. Weekend at Bernie's. That was the old school, though.
Oh, no, but you look, remember when Paul Walker died?
Yes, they put him,
They put him in them. I mean, he wasn't alive when he was in the movie. You could do anything these days.
They can do that, yes. And now they also had a movie, I think it was The Irishman or something, that came out a few years ago during COVID, I believe. And they aged them down, like De Niro and all them. They did some kind of whatever in post where they looked young. They de-aged them. And again, with the AI, it's getting a little weird. But how long before we don't need actors anymore either, or musicians or any of that? We can just put a little algorithm into a computer and voila, you know? So that's why sports players will always have it, because unless you can build a robot that can do all that, that's not really exciting, though.
No, because who are you going to root for?
I want that robot, not that robot. I want the SWAT robot.
You got that robot's jersey?
C-3PO, yes. But most notably, 2024, around 85% of U.S. households now have at least one subscription to a video streaming service such as Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Video, Max. U.S. users have an average of four streaming service subscriptions, according to the Deloitte Digital Media Trend Study, and there are approximately 1.8 billion subscriptions to video streaming services. Besides having those numbers be staggering, I think now we see what's happening to the movie industry. So, but how many streaming services do you subscribe to?
Oh, geez,
too legally.
Many.
Yeah, legally.
Legally. They're all legal.
They're all legal with someone's account somewhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't use anybody else's, but yeah, too many. Because there's always something, you get one to watch something and then you get another one to watch something else. You end up keeping them. Paramount Plus is a really good one. That's what I'm using right now. That's
I'm not using. It's the only one I don't have.
Yeah, like I'm actually watching Tulsa King right now. That's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
I watched all of Ray Donovan, which ended a couple years ago, but
they picked it up on
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, see, a lot of times they share now stuff. Like you see one on Hulu, but you also see one over there.
Which is cool because to me it was brand new. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ended a couple years ago, but it's not like I paid attention.
Good for you. You didn't see spoilers everywhere on social media. That's the problem, though. If you don't binge and watch faster than someone else who is, and they got a big mouth on Facebook, and they don't say, spoiler alert, they spoil it. I mean, there were a few things where I was like watching and I just happened to catch a piece of something somewhere. And I was like, oh, that it's over. I can't watch it now. I'm like, I was so excited and it was a big twist ending. And I'm like, that's the end. So you got, it's another thing. You got to be faster than the other person who's watching it. And,
and they'll be like, oh, I had the weekend.
Yeah.
You watch it? What? No. My life.
That's true. You know, I think this is just going to be a number that keeps going. The predictions of this is just billions and billions of dollars in the industry. And it's becoming more expensive than cable used to be, I got to say. With all of the subscriptions, I am paying more now than what the big full cable package used to be. So,
oh, yeah.
So now I'm like, oh, wait, how did this improve my life in any way? Not financially anyway.
No, definitely not. Because there's always going to be another one. Yeah, oh, this was only $5 a month. But yeah, so is this one and this one and this one.
They add up. So, okay. So out of all of them this year that you've watched, what was your favorite that you watched?
Favorite show?
Yeah, streaming.
I thought Ray Donovan was really good.
Yeah, it was your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I watched in February anyway.
I just finished
that like last month. So,
yeah.
So
I like From. That was my favorite. I'm waiting for Yellow Jackets, which was, I think, always on Showtime, I want to say. And I'm waiting for that one because that's another one that was on hiatus because of COVID, but I think it's coming back. That was another one I like. I like Stranger Things, which I'm waiting. It's on hiatus and it's going to come back. I know Cobra Kai is now back out.
That I got tired of that. I was so excited when that first came
Me
out.
Me too. And I have not pulled the trigger to even start the last season. And it's been out for a while now.
Yeah. I only watched, I think, I don't even know how many there are. The first two, I think. But then it just got so stupid.
Oh, three or four, I think they're up
Yeah,
to.
It got so corny. And
it is.
I'm like,
It has that, again, that nostalgic kind of weird throwback feel. And it was good. But yes, you're right. How many times can they
fight, and everybody fights.
And then there's always the bad guy. And then they're fighting again, but the good always wins. And it's like it's Disney all over again. But
yeah, it is.
Well, on that note, I don't think you remember, maybe, but we came up with some predictions last year on last year's show. So let's see how close we got. Pretty awesome. Got to say, we're still doing the show. That is. Who would have predicted that? No.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good.
Is that one of the predictions?
I don't know. No. Well, do we want it? No, they'll jinx it. No, knock on wood. But so we'll assume we're going to do it next year still. We're going strong and we're going to revisit again and we're going to do the same things and see how close we got. But okay, we asked for Super Bowl winner. You went with Eagles.
Duh, of course.
I went with 49ers. And it was the Chiefs. But 49ers did make it to the last dance.
They got closer, yeah.
They did it. So I feel like I was, you know.
But the Niners aren't going to make it this year.
Don't think so. Okay, so then what's your prediction for this year?
I think it's going to be Eagles and Bills in the Super Bowl.
Okay, and you think?
Eagles. who are you talking to?
Remember, you're sitting next to a Bills fan here. And I'm going to say Bills are going
to
take it all.
I'm sitting next to Josh Allen. I'm going to tell him Eagles.
Yeah, he was shaking that hand a lot yesterday, but I think he's been playing with that all year long.
Do people not realize that doesn't make it better? That's everybody's instinct. Shake the hand.
He just wants attention. Look at me. Yeah. But he played all right.
That's everybody's instinct.
It was a little scary game, but yeah. We're taping the day after they played Patriots in Buffalo, and that was not a game that should have been close. But anyway, there's still one. That's a still W in the column, and they're still going strong. But I want to say Bills and Eagles are going to go, but I'm going to go and say Minnesota and Bills.
Oh,
I know, and I'm going to pick
Bills.
Two
teams that lost four Super Bowls.
I think that's a cool thing.
Nah, screw. I would go Bills definitely.
Yeah,
not Minnesota. Nobody cares about the Vikings.
That they're sneaking in.
You want to have low ratings in a Super Bowl? Put the Vikings in.
They weren't even in the game. They took off. They had, I think they had like some kind of Bob's Burgers on yesterday on Fox instead of putting the Minnesota game on yesterday.
Nobody cared. Who's going to watch Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl? Nobody. No, the ratings would be horrible.
I got to say, though, I have a feeling they are just high. They're going under the radar, and every week it's close, but they keep winning and winning and winning, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, they're going
to
be like...
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
But all right, so that's my prediction. We'll see how close we get. But we did World Series winner, and I got to say, you impressed me. You said it was going to be a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, but you went with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So you were really...
It was close.
You were really close there, and I was so far off with Arizona.
Yeah.
I was...
really strong, but no, they didn't. Nope. They just didn't do it.
No. Nope. And so Dodgers, as you all know, won. I'm going this year, so I'm going to pick first, because I always make you pick, which isn't fair. So I'm going to say Mets for me this year. And I think the Dodgers are favored, but I think signing Soto is going to have the Mets take it.
Yeah, this is tough. I don't know, because
I think
still...
Yankees are now pulling over Mets. I think it was supposed to be, the Vegas odds were, as of yesterday, I think it was Dodgers first and Yankees and then Mets. And the one I saw before was Mets over the Yankees.
Yeah,
so they keep fluctuating.
Because we're still in the middle of, free agency basically barely started. So there's still a lot of moves to make, but I don't think one player, Soto, is going to put them over the top.
I don't know. I'm just hoping all that money pays off, but I'm just thinking, I don't know. I think they haven't. I didn't want to go
no
with the
idea.
Same two that were in this year. I just didn't want to go with the same two.
Yeah, I'll go, screw it. Phillies and Orioles. How about
Woo!
That?
All right. There you go. Phillies and Orioles. That's a cool one because they're so close. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would
and
be
I'll go
quite...
with the Phillies.
Of course you're going to go with you got to stick with your home
yeah,
team, man.
So.
See, I don't have a Buffalo team, so I can't go with it. I can go
you're
with
like
anybody.
You're like the Blue Jays. You're the closest, probably.
I think our farm team is what used to be the Indians, which are what now?
Guardians.
That's how much I follow now, so there you go. All right, and the last prediction for fun. We did gas prices. And you said it at the time... It was 3.068 was the average last year when we wrapped around the same exact time last year. You said it was going to go down to 2.95, and I said 3.17. I had it going up. And we literally pulled in like in the middle of each other because it's 3.04 average as of yesterday.
Well, I was closer.
Which is the 22nd.
I was closer according to the place I went to yesterday, which is 298.
We have to go the national average because we're all over the country. So everyone's hearing this. So national average is, it really, my big shocker is that while it went up, which, is about 50, almost 50 cents a gallon, it didn't go up as much as I would have thought it was going to go up. I know it did for a while, and then I think it came back down. But yeah, we were sort of we hit each other right almost in the middle. It was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
All right. So, okay. What next year? You think it's going to go? So it's 304 right now. That's the national average. Next year when we do this show, do you think it's going to go up, down, and what do you think it'll be?
I'll go with what I got my gas for yesterday, 298.
Woo. All right. And why I'm going to be optimistic with the country because I got to be at some point and say 285.
Oh, wow.
I'm going down a lot.
I'll take that.
I would too. And I'm hoping. I think that's wishful thinking. I'm putting it out there in the cosmos and I'm thinking, well, okay, if I say it, build it and they will come. So I'm hoping that it is. But I wonder. But, I don't think any prices are going to go down anymore. But I'm an optimist.
Yes.
Yes.
Especially in a wallet.
Yes.
Gotta
and
be.
I am optimistic. 2025 is going to be a really great year. We're going to have a lot of great guests. We have a lot of great things coming. And I think that wraps another year in the books. So I guess there's only one thing left to say.
Happy New Year!
Should've
Happy New Year from me, Matt, and the rest of the Scene with Dorian family. Thank you for making 24 an incredible year. We look forward to all the fun surprises the new year will have in store, and we hope you join us in 25 right here on the Scene with Doreen. Happy New Year!